producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
America Tonight, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. We were hoping to talk to Ellen Ratner, but we'll get to that later this hour, I suppose, or later in the show. Coming up, we'll talk about everything that's happening in Washington, as we always do. Plus, if you want to throw in your two cents, normally I don't just throw out the phone number at the top, but somebody asked me the other day, how do I get a hold of you? 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. The big, bad, burning question is, who's going to be left standing when it's all said and done for the Republicans? I continue this this conversation I had the other day over to this hour. Who is it? Because Trump now is being challenged by Ben Carson. When you look at what the polls are saying, for what it's worth, the polls in Texas have Trump and Carson tied. Yeah, they're tied. I find that's just so hard to believe, but it's true. Ben Carson, 22.9%. Donald Trump, 22.2%. So that's basically a tie. That's the CBS 11 Dixie Strategist poll. And this is likely GOP voters. The drop-off after that, Ted Cruz, 14.3%, Jeb Bush, 12.7%, Marco Rubio, 6.6%, and Carly Fiorina, 4.6%. The numbers for the rest of the 15 candidates in the Republican field, that, you know, they were minuscule, nothing, zero. So if you have, like, less than a percent, then they didn't even bother to record that. Pretty much it's what we've seen. You know, Jeb Bush had 12.7%. A lot of people still feel, that I've talked to in the Republican machine, that Jeb Bush may surprise you and still be there in the end. And then you have Donald Trump always making friends with his comments. And I don't know, there's a lot of people who are anti-media, or as many of you would call this show, we would call the show and say that mainstream media is slanted and it's brutal and that's what's happening. Well, Trump says the media isn't doing a good job of covering his campaign for the Republican nomination, and he just went nuts Monday, if you remember, in New Hampshire. He said the press has a lower approval rating than Congress. Trump said to the crowd, they're scum. They're horrible people. They're so illegitimate. They're just terrible people. He always gives us something to talk about, doesn't he? And he backtracked a little bit and said, you know, some, I assume, are good people. He says some of the people in the press are horrible, but you've got 50% who are terrible people. He realizes, well, yeah, maybe there's just four people I like, so I don't want to just do a blanket statement. And I was thinking, the press has a lower approval rating than Congress? Is that true? Could the mainstream media have a lower approval rating? Yeah? No? What do you think? Is the mainstream so slanted? I suppose it you can find whatever you're looking for variety-wise out there. Big news on the day, Paul Ryan on John Boehner's budget deal. He said, it stinks. It stinks. The presumptive Speaker of the House, anyway, he is bashing Boehner unabashedly. He says the Senate leaders in the White House screwed up with their backroom budget deal. which is probably music to the ears of a few people anyway, because he's saying, listen, when you look and you want change and you look at where we are, I mean, this is ridiculous. He's saying it's a ridiculous deal. So the deal would actually help Ryan in a sense because it would set budget levels for 2 years. It would lift the debt ceiling until March of 2017. It would eliminate the threat of a government shutdown until October of 2016. So he wouldn't be in the middle of all of that. It would actually protect him. So it's interesting that he comes out and says, I think it's a bad bum deal. It's a backroom deal. I don't like it. But the Republicans have pretty much already said they're doing the deal. Ryan wasn't involved in the negotiation. He, I guess, wants to distance himself from it, which that makes sense. And he has to say, we're under new management, and that's it. So he had to say something like that. He had to come up with something, and that's the truth, you know, because he's stepping into the role, so it doesn't make any sense. And Jeff Sessions is right when he says that the president got whatever he wanted in the deal. Whatever it was he wanted for this 2-year thing. I mean, yeah, there's no government shutdown and a debt default until after the November 2016 election, which is what everybody's concerned about. But I agree with what Sessions is saying. He said his knees just quiver at the sound of the agreement for a reason. I'm worried about how fast it's moving. I see no reason for that. Based on what I know, this is Sessions, Senator Sessions from Alabama, saying it's frustrating that this thing was rolled out days before he announced his resignation. So defense would be boosted, domestic spending above sequestered levels by $50 billion in the first year, $30 billion in the second year. There'd be extra money, $16 billion spent using the Contingency Operations Fund. There'd be a large increase in Medicare programs, just some of what's wrapped in there. John McCain liked the deal. He said, I think that we could move forward with this. It averts a shutdown. It puts any of these problems into 2 years from now, and I think it's the best deal we can get. See, there we go. It puts them 2 years from now. Why? This is the problem. It's always about pushing the boulder up the hill, but letting it roll back a couple of steps. Is this the best thing we can do? We can never come up with a sure-fire deal, so we constantly have to put Band-Aids over everything? That doesn't sound like a great deal to me. It's basically conceding, saying, look, we don't agree on anything, so it's better for all of us if we just boot this. Push it. We don't want to have to deal with it. So let's do that instead. That makes so much more sense. I mean, essentially, that's like when you bury your head in the sand and not deal with your problems. We talk about this with financial problems all the time, right? Hey, coming up, we're going to talk with Daniel Corison. You'll love him. He co-authored a book about this supermarket family chain called Market Basket. There's about 75 or so of them in the New England area, and the way that they came together to protect an ousted CEO in a family business is incredible. It's remarkable. In fact, unheard of. That's next here on America Tonight.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle, now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USE-SILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com, onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now, for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Tonight, I'll tell you what, this book really caught my eye. It jumped out at me. In fact, I blew something off over the weekend so that I could get further through it. It's called We Are Market Basket, the story of the unlikely grassroots movement that saved a beloved business. And, you know, we do so much of business here on America Tonight. We're talking about small businesses and getting connected to people and community. Market Basket is incredibly connected to their community, both in and out of the store. Daniel Corson, one of the authors of that book, joins us now. He's in our virtual green room. And Daniel, this story, Market Basket, for people who don't know, in the Northeast, really in the New England area, how many Market Basket stores are there?
At the moment, they've got about 75 stores, yeah, in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and one in Maine.
Wow. And what happened was, this is a family business. And so the CEO, who was the beloved CEO, suddenly, because of some infighting with his family, and I'll let you flush that a little bit more, ended up being bounced. And it really changed the way business happened at the supermarket chain, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. The whole thing turned upside down, and this company was shut down. It's almost $5 billion company now. And the CEO, Arthur T. Demoulas, the T is important because he was fired by his cousin, Arthur S. Demoulas. And Arthur T. was running this company for nearly a decade. By all accounts, the company was running on all cylinders, really performing well, growing fast. And then his cousin, who happened to be a majority shareholder, he led the side of the family who were majority shareholders, decided that they wanted to cash out. And people knew that this was going to change the way that this company operated, as it had since 1917. So they saw that he was really, Arthur T., the CEO, was the only obstacle in this plan. And so they fired him, and that's what started this whole protest movement that spanned three states.
Wow. And the protest movement meant that the people working there said, uh-uh, we're not going to do this, and basically went out and started picketing and all that sort of thing. And the community did, too, as well, right?
That's the amazing thing, is how quickly this thing spread. It started with a very small core of mostly executives who were very upset. They were so close with this man. And they said, we don't want to work here unless he's our CEO. And then it quickly spread to people in the warehouse, truck drivers who refused to send shipments out. It spread to the stores where employees at every level of this company, management and frontline workers all together, were really united around this. And then it continued to spill into customers. And there was 2 million people boycotted this store for 6 weeks. They took their business elsewhere. It didn't even stop there, because it also went to suppliers. And many of the suppliers, some of them with multi-million dollar accounts that absolutely depend on Market Basket for their business's survival, they said, until Arthur T's back, we're not doing business with you anymore. It's the most incredible thing I've ever come across in my years in academia and studying business.
Yeah, I think it's an incredibly powerful story and speaks to company culture. So what does that say about Market Basket's company culture?
Yeah, it has a very unique company culture, and I think there's a lot to admire there. I mean, one thing they do is they really take care of their people as family. And a lot of companies say that, but this company has this rare quality about it where so many employees, they give their colleagues rides. When people face a hardship, which all of us do, people at this company tend to rally around each other and help each other out. Sometimes it's, a loan or something. Sometimes it's a ride. And a lot of this is coming from the CEO himself. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of the CEO going to the funeral service when an assistant manager at one of the stores has a loved one who dies. So maybe like their mother dies or something. Arthur T shows up at the funeral service for maybe 5 or 10 minutes just to make an appearance and pay his respects, and then he's off. But those kind of small little gestures go such a long way at this company.
And so now, well, first of all, a couple of things. They've obviously built that sense of family, like you say, and there's no doubt. And that continues, by the way, because you have a lot of families that work for Market Basket, right? Like a mother, maybe her kid, maybe a cousin. It also becomes that weave of family inside, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I've also met a lot of people who they'll have multiple people in the family who were working at this company. And people like that, during this protest, they were shutting down the company. They were basically saying, we don't know if this company is going to end up shutting down, partly even because of this protest. So they had a ton to risk. I mean, they put everything on the line. They're, 3, 4, 5 people in their own family that are putting their jobs on the line for this. So it was a tremendous sacrifice.
What's Arthur T doing now?
Arthur T is back in control. Because of the protest, he was able to take back control of the company and purchase the shares of that other side. The other side had intended to sell it to a big supermarket conglomerate based in Belgium, but they obviously lost interest as this protest continued, and that opened up the road for Arthur T to purchase those shares. So now he's in full control. They're growing like crazy. A lot of people that had never heard of Market Basket before, even people living in the area, are saying, what's this all about?
So it was almost like advertising for them, right?
It really did. It piqued a lot of people's curiosity. I had shopped there a lot myself, and I have a lot of family members who are big fans and part of this almost cultish devotion to the company. But I never really fully appreciated it myself either until I started studying it. And now, I see things there, and I just appreciate it so much. Even just being in the store, there's a certain energy in the place. There's a lot of interaction between employees and customers. This will amaze a lot of people. First of all, they have people in the aisles all the time, so there's always people to ask, which I'm sure many of your listeners will be, will think when the last time they were in the supermarket, how difficult it is just to find someone to ask where that pie crust is, right? That's what always happens to me when my wife sends me out for a pie crust, and there are different types. There's a frozen type of this, and there's never anybody to ask. So it's it really can be frustrating from a customer. And at the checkout aisle, almost all those checkouts are open. They all have two people working there, two-person teams. There's one person at the cash register. There's another bagging groceries. So you go into the store, and you feel like you're getting a personal sort of one-on-one attention. And they've stripped out all of the technology, any technology that runs counter to that idea, they've stripped out. So you don't see the automated checkout counters. Those don't appear at this store because they believe that it takes away from that one-on-one sort of experience.
Yeah, so cool. And also, it's like you say, that one-on-one experience. So there is that sense of originality, I bet, is what it's all about.
That's right. Yeah, they follow their own drummer, so to speak, and that played out in this protest as well. And is that when everyone in the world and I have to admit, you know, I'm ashamed to admit now, even myself included, I said, you know, this I admire what they're trying to do, but they're not going to be able to succeed at getting back control of this company. But they said, to their credit, they said, we have to get this done. We're going to find a way to get it done. It doesn't matter that the textbooks say you can't go against the board's decision to fire a CEO. We want our CEO back. This is our company. And that's what they did, and they pulled it off.
We're speaking with Daniel Corishon. He's one of the authors, rather, of a really awesome book called We Are Market Basket, the story of the unlikely grassroots movement that saved a beloved business, no question about it. As you mentioned, you're in academia, and you're at Drexel. So when you're teaching students or talking with students, do you use this as an example?
Oh, I'm just about to. My poor students are going to get a quiz on it in a matter of hours. So you'll see what the response is. But yes, I mean, I brought this into my class. There's so much to learn from this case. I mean, from my standpoint, a lot of it starts with what's a company in business for in the first place, anyway. You know, a hundred years ago, economists used to see business as a way to serve society, and somewhere along the way in the last 100 years, I don't know exactly how, but we've sort of lost sight of that, and we've gotten so focused on the profit generating goal of companies that we've really lost sight of what companies are really there for. And this company, I think, is one of a few models that we have now of companies that say, yes, we're in a sort of mundane business. It's not one that's really exciting to people, the supermarket business, but there's a real importance to this. I mean, we're helping people, and through low prices at the store, through the way that they serve customers, give everyone a lot of respect, the way they deal with employees, there's an importance to this company in the community. And we saw when there was a danger of that company being taken away, you see how people said, no, this is something important. We need to keep this here.
Wow. It is. It's an incredible story. Daniel, thanks so much. Good luck with the book. And Drexel, my mother went to Drexel. I grew up outside of Philadelphia, so go Drexel.
It's a lot of fun to teach here. Thanks a lot.
Cool. Thank you.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Atmospheric aluminum, mercury exposure, estrogen toxins from plastics, microwaves from cell phones and smart meters, and low-quality foods all combine to create conditions for the very high incidence of disease in our society. Now more than ever, we all need to be consuming those foods and herbs that epigenetically signal the cells of our body to produce energy, create proteins, and detoxify. When we properly support our bodies, then even in these toxic times, we can promote and achieve excellent health. One World Way is the first energetically encoded whey protein food derived from Amish pastured cows on the U.S. market. After 3.5 years, we've heard miracles occur for so many people. One World Whey has a track record of promoting detoxification, improvement in elimination, and improvements in energy, skin quality, and elimination of inflammation. One World Whey is formulated to mirror the macronutrient ratios found in mother's milk. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Here we are in America tonight. The New York Mets and the Kansas City Royals in the 12th inning. One out and two on base. Royals up. So go figure. This is only the fifth opener in World Series history to go 12 innings. There's a little shot of a sports short for you. Kate Delaney, America tonight. A reminder, in our second hour, last segment, nail the score. So our computer will randomly pick the game of the week, week 8 in the NFL. You don't have to know anything about football. You could hate it. It's like circling numbers on a lottery card or a keno card if you're in Vegas. You just have to pick a team, one of the two teams, and tell me what you think the final score will be. And no scores wrong, because we have scores that look like baseball scores. We have lopsided scores. We have all kinds of scores. So it doesn't matter. It's just a guess, and your guess is as good as mine. I could analyze it every single day and still not have the right answer. You know, there's that paralysis by overanalysis kind of thing. So don't be shy. Keep the number handy. Next hour, we'll be doing that, 855-266-5283. Coming up next on this hour, conversation with Brian Moreland, who's a prolific writer, and I call him that, and you'll hear that, I'm sure, when I go to him. He writes horror novels, and his writing is incredible. The research that goes into it, that kind of stuff, and he's got another novella out just in time for Halloween, and it's terrific. It is. What I like about the novella is it's 100-some pages. You can actually get through it. Is it not the worst when you're trying to do 20 things at once? You get reeled into a book, then you got to put it aside because you can't finish it. Anyone else have that dilemma going on every once in a while? I bet you do. I bet you do. I mentioned Paul Ryan's dilemma and the fact that, okay, he's the presumptive Speaker of the House. It's almost a done deal. But he's not officially yet. And he came out and he made sure that he said that he thought it really was stunk that Boehner is gone. He's going to leave. And what does he leave everybody with but this deal that isn't good? And the thing with the deal is, in a way, it would benefit Paul, and I already said the reasons why, because everything's down the road. But isn't that how we keep playing everything? Everything's down the road. I mean, the immigration mess that we're in, because whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican or an independent, the bottom line is everybody knows immigration is a problem. No matter how you look at it as to what the solution is, it would have never gotten this bad if we had just done something. But it just kept getting pushed off. We're going to handle immigration. Back when we actually had laws on the books that would work during the Reagan years, but they weren't enforced, but it still got worse, it just would just keep getting pushed. Push, 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 push. Let's not deal with it. We'll wait, we'll wait, we'll wait. We'll talk about it, and then nothing will happen. And so this is why we're in the position we're in right now. Because of that. Same thing. We talk about the deficit. We talk about the problems in Washington. We talk about budgets. So what do? Push it off, push it off, push it off. I mean, there's got to be a better way to do that. Can you imagine if in any company you work for or you ran, for that matter, or your small business, if everything was constantly pushed off? That's when you start to bleed money. That's when you lose money. That's when you lose track of things. That's when you have no idea what's going on because you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. And you know what? That's what Washington is. The not paying attention crowd. It's all about, am I running again? Ugh, I don't like that guy. I don't like that person. How do I get in there? It's all about favors. It's almost like Comp Town 2. If you've ever been to Vegas or if you ever lived in Vegas, I lived in Vegas for a while, and you have to learn the lingo. And the lingo is this, is that you get comps. When people know you or you do a favor for someone, they'll say, hey, let me give you some comps. And comps just means free food at whatever trough you're going to, or maybe tickets to a show. Usually comps were food. You know, so they give you comps so you can go and eat at the Hilton or go and eat at MGM Grand, one of the restaurants, wherever it is. It's like we have comps. We have a comp system in Washington because you to get on the committee, to make more money, to get more prestige, whatever, you have comps. And I think until we re-rack that and have term limits, actual term limits, if we do for the presidency, what a difference I believe that would make. But people in office, some may believe that, but the majority aren't going to believe that, and so no one's voting for that. That could change the culture. That's what we need. It's like, that's the big buzzword in companies. And you heard us talk a little bit about there with the market basket deal. It's the corporate attitude. It's the change. It's the what are you changing? It's the transition. And that transition is what we need in Washington. That's what we need in Washington. All right, I'm off my soapbox temporarily. You may disagree. You might agree. You can always flip me an email, americatonight.net. Or you can jingle these numbers, 855-266-5283. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. A lot of the callers think that. Grimm, who calls from Mississippi, we have that conversation all the time. That's an area where we definitely disagree. He says the same thing. The term limits certainly would help anyway. Listen, if I was a political person, I believe in our form of government. I believe in power to the people and helping people and all of that and sense of community. And if I had taken a different course and I had run for office, trust me, I'm all good with you have only a certain amount of time. Get in and get out. So therefore, if there are things you really want to see happen, guess what? You have to do it. You can't wait and worry about being reelected again and again and again. All right, I got to throw this in quickly, too, because we talked about China a bunch. the other night. China is saying it warned and tracked the U.S. warship in the South China Sea. Because basically, it's like they're creating these coral reefs that they're using for other things. Like making them into pieces of land, basically, for lack of a better way to say it. I'll just call it that. But Chinese ships and even planes warned our warship as it came close to the reefs to watch out. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if they fired? That would be incredible. If they fired on one of our warships, then what do we do? I mean, the answer is obvious and would be insanity if that happened. But it's pretty frightening to see how close this is coming. And there's concern over why the ship is there. And you can see it. It's like a crazy standoff. It almost looks like a movie. Seeing choppers in the air, just eyeballing it. What they're basically saying, China's saying, is that this is an attempt by Washington to militarize the region. The statement is, it's a very absurd and even hypocritical position to ask others not to militarize the region while oneself is sending military vessels there so frequently. That's what that's what basically is being discussed. The United States didn't breach the 12-mile limit, by the way, because there is a 12-mile barrier. Since China began dredging operations to turn the reefs into artificial islands, they started doing that, as we know, last year. Even though maritime law, by the way, doesn't usually allow territorial waters to island, you know, that kind of accord to islands built on submerged reefs, and that's what they're doing. So our defense secretary, Ash Carter, is saying, listen, we'll fly, we'll sail, we'll do whatever we have to do wherever international law allows us to do that. But the Chinese are warning. They're saying, don't push our buttons. Don't do that. Don't cause trouble. Don't cause tension. If any country thinks that through some gimmicks, they're calling us gimmicky, they'll be able to interfere with or even prevent China from engaging in reasonable, legitimate, and legal activities in its own territories. A ministry spokesperson is saying, I want to suggest those countries give up such fantasy. I love the rhetoric. I do. Give up the fantasy. Don't push us. Don't provoke us. Can you imagine them firing on our ship? I can't imagine it. Sure, that I can see skirmishes with other smaller countries, but with the United States? Now check this out. Why do we care about this? In more than 18 months, kind of 18 months, give or take, China has reclaimed about 2,000 acres at three locations in the Spratly Islands. Have you ever heard of them? And it's Subi, Mischief, and Fiery Cross Reefs. They're building airstrips capable of handling, guess what? Bombers! Yes! You win the prize if you thought the same thing. And you know, when I heard about the reefs, that's exactly what I thought. Because what are you going to do with the reefs? What are they there to look at? To take boat tours around? No. It's for aircraft. To be able to take off bombers. It's perfect. And if you look at it, it looks like a giant airstrip. That's what it looks like. So that's what they're doing. It's no innocent deal. And they're the way they're spread out, it's perfect. Near the Philippines. Right there, the Spratly Islands. That's what they're doing. And the Japanese are not happy about it at all. Not at all. All right, stay with us. Hang tight. We're talking about scary things next on ATN.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
I am a 47-year-old female and had a heart attack in 2005. This is Alice from New Jersey. I still get angina, even with four stents. I was taking Nitro two or three times a week. The very first day after taking Heart and Body Extract, the chest pain was gone. Now I don't wear a Nitro patch.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
You wouldn't go swim with the sharks without a cage, would you?
Hey, has anyone seen Larry?
It's in our nature to protect ourselves, especially when protection is simple and affordable. That's why IDStronghold.com has been providing affordable RFID protection for over 10 years. ID Stronghold wallets protect you from electronic pickpockets who pass near you with a scanner and steal your credit and debit card info, as well as data from other cards containing RFID chips. IDStronghold.com, the original maker of shielded wallets, is a technology company, so we understand how to best protect you against intrusive radio waves. ID Stronghold wallets are designed to block RFID signals, open or closed, no matter where in the wallet you put your cards. Most other RFID wallets on the market were designed with only fashion in mind and don't shield properly, if at all. If you're shopping for your next wallet, be sure to get the protection you deserve by going to IDStronghold.com, because getting anything else is like being the next victim in a Jaws movie.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
To join us on the show again as we have Halloween creeping up on us. He is such a prolific writer, and he's just so good. His stories pull you right in, and if you love horror, even if you don't, I implore you to read Brian's stuff. But he's got a new novella out, which I love these novellas because you can get through them. You know, frankly, if you're really swamped and you get hooked in, you can actually finish it, because it's so frustrating when you get sucked into a story and then you have to kind of put it aside, and then you're remembering, oh, I love this, I got to go back to it. Here you can read this. You can read this on the train for everybody listening to us in the Northeast, catching a flight. You could read it for certain in a day or over the weekend or whenever it is that you have that little bit of time. So I love it. 110 pages it is. Darkness Rising is the name of the book, and the story is creepy, creepy, scary, and has a wild ending. Let's just put it that way. Brian, thanks for coming back.
Hey, thanks, Kate. It's great to be back on your show.
So you heard what I said about novellas, and you've gone into that. I mean, you know, you write all kinds of things, but am I right about that? It's you can get through the novella, and it gets you excited because you can get to the end without having to wait when we have these busy lives.
That's right. Yeah, my novellas are, you know, just a little over 100 pages, so you can read them, and, you know, just depends on how fast you read, but a couple hours, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, and so this story, Darkness Rising, how did you develop How did you develop Darkness Rising? It's about a poet who definitely has some emotional problems, or he's scarred by a past. How did you come up with the plot around Darkness Rising?
Well, it originally started out as I was doing some experimental writing years ago, writing a whole bunch of poems, and I was trying to tell a story through poetry. And then I came up with this character who was a poet, and he was bullied all his life, but he also has a dark side that seeks revenge against anyone who bullies him. And when a year ago I came across all these poems and decided to see if I could flesh this out into a story, and that's when I came up with my three killers that bring out Marty's dark side, and I actually incorporated some of the poems into the novella.
So the character is Marty, and Marty Weaver. And what happens with Marty? Anything with a lake. He goes out to a lake, and then what happens at the lake?
He goes out to this lake. It's where he goes to read poetry. He's totally in love with this woman named Jennifer, which is a friend of his, but she doesn't know it. So he kind of just channels all his emotions into this journal of poetry, and he goes out to the lake and he reads poems to the lake, and there just happened to be three sadistic killers out there who shoot snuff films, and this is their hunting ground, and they see Marty reading his poetry and decide to pick on him and torment him and make him a subject to their next movie. And that's when things get interesting, because they have no idea that Marty has a dark side, too.
Wow. I mean, here's an interesting question. When you start to write, and you gave us a little glimpse of that, how you tried to tell a story through a poem, when you start to write, do you always know where your character, do you have it laid out in your mind, hey, I think this is what's going to happen, or does, as it starts to unfold, do you sometimes surprise yourself with where the story takes you?
Yes, I always surprise myself. I rarely know exactly where it's going. I'll have an idea of a direction, but I'm always discovering along the way, and it takes me several drafts, you know, maybe 50 to 100 drafts before I get all the ideas in place.
And then it just starts to unfold, right, as you go along, which is so interesting, because when people yeah. say they sit down to write a book and they've never written a book, and you know, there's that thing out there where I can't tell you how many times I've heard this sitting around at a bar, at a restaurant or wherever, you overhear a conversation that says, you should write that book, and how many people don't write that book, and you're an encourager. You always encourage people to do that, but there is a difference between people who really know how to write and somebody who just kind of steps into it, so you see how the process is, and that's what Darkness Rising, like you say, you sit down and then it takes you in a different direction. And I was reading some of the quotes of people that were giving you reviews, and one of them, I love this because I think they nailed it. Darkness Rising is a bit Hellraiser, love Hellraiser, a bit Romeo and Juliet, and a lot of signature Brian Moreland. It's wonderful. So, like, now you're a brand, Brian Moreland. You have, like, your own brand. So people know, if you go to Amazon.com, I want everyone to do this. I'm serious. This is how big this guy is. If you go to Amazon, you just type this name in. All of his books come up. He has his own page. And, you know, we had you back on talking about Shadows in the Mist, and we talked about, I think, Dead of Winter, too.
Uh-huh.
You just have a whole bag full of really, really interesting twists and plots and different stories that pull us in. Is that part of the deal, no matter what genre you're in? Is it really about the strong story? Is that what hooks us in? Is that, you know, is that the drug we need that pulls us into writing our books?
Yes. Yeah, and I love a good mystery, and so all my books, you know, are mysteries at the core, and it's also about just real people up against usually some kind of supernatural forces that really force them to face their own demons and to rise to heroic occasions to overcome what these supernatural forces are challenging them to do.
Yeah, it's great. It's just a great, great story. So once you put this to bed, and how many have you written now between novellas and books?
Six books.
Six books. Wow. That's unbelievable. Is the goal to be, like, I don't know, what does Stephen King have, like 50? Something more than that, probably.
Yeah, my goal is just to write my whole life and output as many books as I can. If I can get to 50, boy, that'd be great.
Yeah, 50 books. So after you finish one, are you already starting to think about your other, or you're in the middle of working on one?
Yes, I'm in the middle of working on my next, it's probably going to be a novella again. And, yeah, I'm always working on probably two books at the same time. And there are stages of writing where I'll write a draft out and then give it to some readers or my editor, and then I'll start working on the next one. So I usually have two going at the same time.
Wow. We're speaking with Brian Moreland. He is an author. He's written many, many books in the horror genre. Darkness Rising is his latest novella. You can get it on Amazon.com, certainly. Do you have a favorite book? Is it hard to say that? It's like children giving birth, like, oh, you know, here's all my children. I can't pick out one. Certainly I can't. Is your first the most exciting? Do you ever capture that again?
I would say I do have a favorite. I mean, they're all like children to me. You're right. I mean, I'm very connected to all my books because I spend over a year on them and with the characters and developing the stories. I would say my favorite, the one I had the most fun writing, was Dead of Winter. And I just really got into those characters and the history of the Native American mythology that I was incorporating into that book, and the history of the Catholicism, how it connected with exorcising demons, and just the whole story, the way it unfolded for me, was just a very exhilarating experience.
Yeah, and that's the other part of it. Your stories, as you said, you're about the story. You have to do research in so many of these cases because of what you're incorporating into it, right?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of my stories are based on some kind of historical fact that's, you know, maybe unexplained, like Shadows and Mist was about the Nazis' fascination with the occult, and I really incorporated true historical events about the Nazis, and also, since it was a World War II novel, I incorporated real war history so that it would be an authentic read as you're reading the fictional mystery.
Right, you'd feel like you were right there, and of course that's the whole idea. Well, the timing is perfect. Halloween, good book. As Brian said, you can read it in probably a couple of hours, depending on how you read. Marty Weaver's story is so interesting. Darkness Rising, pick it up on Amazon.com. Brian, always fun to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's been a blast. Thanks for having me back, Kate.
Thank you.
Looking back, pre-keeping track of the progress of the keeping of the ego intact. Before I realized I was a man, I suppose I...
Many scientific studies have linked inflammation in the human body to several common health challenges suffered by Americans every day.
This idea about essential fatty acids getting turned into inflammatory or non-inflammatory chemicals. If you're dealing with an inflammatory issue like arthritis, and many diseases and many immune conditions have inflammatory components. If you have any inflammatory issues, essential fatty acids are maybe the most important nutritional supplements you could use. If you have fat absorption problems, you're going to want to take your EFAs with digestive enzymes. With fatty meals can also help improve your ability to process and absorb these super, super mega important nutritional compounds, essential fatty acids.
To keep inflammation at a minimum in your body, do what Ben Fuchs does and order Ultimate EFAs and Ultimate EFA Plus from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470. Or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.